Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
But the church sure is full now because they want to see who Father Christian Slater is going to investigate next.
Oh, no, kids, we're going to church. 2 weeks ago, he said, we're going to find out who murdered it. Apparently, this weekend, when we weren't there, he killed that guy. And he shot it. You might get a little brain matter if you kneel down.
No, it's like SeaWorld. You got to pull up the little.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish they had just shown like half of the churchgoers is just like excited patrons. They're like cracking beers and stuff.
God awful movie.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema because being a cat was not a career option, it turns out. I'm your host, No Illusions. Heath is off this week, but sitting 900 miles to my northeast is my bad friend, Eli Bosnick. Eli, how are you this fine afternoon, sir?
Are you No Illusions? Really?
I am. What, am I what, here?
Are you, though?
Okay.
Are you?
I see. And we're also excited to welcome
I'm going to go walk around my room for a little bit.
Oh, it's
fucking do whatever
motion,
you want.
Like,
everybody watch.
Yep.
Would
you like to brood?
Check out my space.
Please.
Sound foam.
And we're also excited to welcome in a brand new guest masochist who's still trying to decide what to make of Eli, YouTube's very own Andy King. Andy, welcome to God Awful Movies.
How's it going? What's going on? You guys have been making stuff since I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself camera right now. So that's fine. Hey.
Someone record that.
I was old when this movie was young, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it is such an encapsulation of the times, no matter how old you are, though. I think that's the one thing that in my final review of it, I didn't write down, but it is quite the 2004 film.
It is.
Deeply 2004.
Yeah, totally.
This film might as well sit there and defend the Iraq war while simultaneously saying that the TSA won't be so bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So
TSA is still revolutionary.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So and let's clue the audience in. Tell us, Andy, what will we be breaking down today?
Today we'll be watching The Good Shepherd. Actually, my bad. The Confessor.
Now, yeah.
Well, they're bad. They fucking.
Yeah, I did have to do a little bit of research as to why that happened, and I didn't know that it was because of the much more popular movie, The Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right
there, you go.
Well, in their defense, it took them two goddamn years to find a direct-to-video release for this film. So, you know, if it had come out a little quicker, they could have had that name to themselves.
2 years of people falling asleep before they made it to the end of this film. Yeah. And then one guy.
And Eli, how bad was this movie?
Well, if you love the brooding crime dramas of the 90s, but you wish they'd been made a decade too late and about the least sympathetic group possible.
Oh, my God.
You will love this movie. Let me explain something. This movie is beat for beat, moment for moment, an oppression drama of the late 90s, right? a tribe in South Africa, a young kid on the streets of Newark trying to make it good.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's about priests who are always the bad. Catholic priests.
Yep. Catholic priests, specifically, yeah.
The amount of times I had to pause this film and rewind to make sure that they were Catholic is astounding.
Right? All right. Is there anything you guys want to nominate this one for being the best at being the worst at?
It took me a minute on this one, but I'm going with best, worst, will they, won't they.
Okay.
Never before have I wanted a slow burn will they, won't they to wrap up. Like yesterday. Yesterday. I don't care.
They're not going to, and I already know, and I don't care. Yes, I would not watch them fuck.
I mean, it would have been slightly less boring than the rest of the movie to watch them
fuck.
Well,
sure. I mean, rather than this movie, yeah.
There was a moment. There's a moment about 75% of the way through the film where my heart started to flutter.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a spicy scene, but we didn't get
it. Not a goddamn thing.
So, spoiler.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
And I'm going to go with best, worst, give me your badge and gun scene. We get there when we get there, but it's
the standard to which all will be held from now on.
Yeah, we'll get
there. And I'm going to go with best, worst, whodunit.
Right.
So this movie is kind of a murder mystery. And who, you, podcast listener, it might as well have ended up being the murderer. I mean, is it a character whose name we know and whose face we recognize?
Sure. Kinda.
If we were paying attention. Yeah.
If there is any reason to suspect him, it is completely fucking beyond.
No, it's just he's not one of the ones you thought it was. So, huh?
I guess they proved their point.
Yeah.
Truly whodunit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this one's a mystery, so I need a minute to brush up on my Belgian accent. But we'll be back in a minute with all the long shots of Christian Slater contemplating that are The Good Shepherd 2004. Not the one with Matt Damon and Angelina Jolie, the direct-to-video one that came out the same year and desperately changed its name to The Confessor in the U.S. to avoid pissing off people expecting a good movie.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the first ever writer's room meeting for The Good Shepherd and then later The Confessor.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Okay, so this one's going to be a thrilling drama about a priest who's accused of murder.
Oh, and he did it?
Well, see, that's the question. Did he do it?
Yes.
No. So, it turns out the victim was a male prostitute, but he was being counseled by the priest.
Oh. He definitely did.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. No. Sorry, I didn't say this, but he says he didn't do it.
Well, they all do that.
Yeah, that's what people who did it say.
Okay. I didn't get to explain it, but there's going to be a church worker who's also pretty suspicious in the movie.
Oh, they both did it.
No. Okay, guys, neither of them did it. Okay? It's going to turn out to be a totally different guy that did it.
The priest didn't do it?
No.
Oh, I get it. It's a fantasy movie.
Oh, fun. Is there a dragon?
God damn it.
Maybe the dragon did it. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, Eli. What's the matter?
Oh, Noah. The capitalist cancer of infinite growth has infected my mindset, and I've lost the ability to be happy without the feeling of getting better.
Yeah, no, that's no good, man.
I know. But perchance, there's something that I could buy.
No, look, Eli, better is a feeling defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. It's progress.
Progress, you say?
That's right. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/awful. That's betterhelp.com/awful.
Okay, Noah. I'll deeply consider your advice and consider it. But let me check eBay one more time for my purpose.
It's not there, man.
Let me check real quick.
Nope.
Please. Pretty please.
And we're back for the breakdown, and we're going to open up on this antiquating realization of just how old shit from 2004 can look, man. Sorry, Andy, to start you off like this, but I had a moment.
This movie can order a beer.
Oh, God. It can, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get some Christian Slater here. I feel like, let me say something brave. Let me open us up with a bold take. Christian Slater is the burned out gifted kid of Hollywood, right?
Okay,
he exploded into our hearts and ball sacks with Heathers. And then we just pointed a camera at him for the next, 10, 15 years being like, Come on.
Two's Heathers again. Yeah.
Make movie
well,
good.
Well, see, the shame is that as soon as that musical happened, he was done. As soon as they casted a younger, hotter guy as JD, it was over.
Yeah,
over.
Never quite got over it. Yeah. So, but before we get to Christian Slater, we get his name here. So we get the promise of Christian Slater. But first, we have to meet our man horse. And I say that because that's how this movie is going to treat him. It's just, it's three guys, you know, earning a living, sucking a little dick here and there. But they look like they're having a blast with it.
They're having a blast. Can I say, I am so tired of people using, people who might be minors, being sex trafficked and being such downers about it. In the early 2000s,
wait,
we knew.
Why did you add minors to this, man?
Because they're really young
looking.
Well,
yeah, but they're not supposed to be minors in the fucking movie.
There's no
priests fuck them in the movie. It's some other Jew.
You know
so,
what?
Yeah, it's obviously they're over
they're
18.
They're definitely the playing ageless. Ageless for sure.
Yeah.
And the point is they're having a good time. Sometimes you go out with your pals, you joke around, you put your buddy in a headlock, and then you sex traffic yourself to adults on the street.
Yes.
While your and buddy, Gen Z's not doing that.
While your buddies see you off on the side of the road.
Scrolling on their phone, asking ChatGPT what to do. You know what ChatGPT will never do? Sex traffic you to a strange adult on the street.
For meth money, yeah.
But only because they haven't figured out how to do it. I do want to be very clear.
Yeah. No, they're working.
Because I know people are listening in the backlogs, and there is a good chance that Astra just introduces the fact that it's sex traffic you on the street. And that's
the
only
how you
difference.
Get tokens, yeah.
It is a little comedic how game they are for it, how they just kind of stand off to the side while their buddy gets in the truck, like, hey, another day, another dollar.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
See you later, bud.
They have like songs that they're singing, you know, or whatever.
Maybe the gentleman at the Home Depot should consider sex trafficking themselves.
All right, so, but elsewhere, we see a priest praying over a murdered guy, but then a lady looks in and he's got to run away, right? So that's our, you know, inciting incident. Then we get our title over stained glass, and this goes on for a goddamn eternity.
Yeah, it's, again, I hopefully won't dwell on it too much because it would be so boring for you, podcast listener, but there was truly this post-Primal Fear, pre-someone good making a movie ever again, where really all we thought movies were supposed to be was just like lingering shots of the scene that had just happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, this movie loved to linger.
Long fade.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so after 15 years of this, and I should point out that the movie's like an hour and 31 minutes long, so I have a feeling that these credits were stretched out for runtime purposes.
Get that Amazon money,
there was
baby.
A quota. Yeah. There was a quota. Yeah.
But then we eventually resolve on Father Christian Slater just having told a very funny joke to a bunch of other higher-up priests wearing, you know, really...
What a way to immediately establish these priests as, like, the shittiest guys on the planet. What was the joke he was telling again about, like...
Well, the punchline was, it turns out, I thought you were a Protestant. It turns out you're just a prostitute. You know, teehee.
It's like, yeah, way to establish them as holy men.
Yes, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so they leave, and his buddy Henry shows up. Now, we'll never really establish what their relationship is or even what Henry does for a living. Like, he works for the church in some capacity, but he's not a priest, right? He just shows up when exposition needs to happen.
Right, and he's also not his boss,
and
he doesn't work for him. He just seems to be aware of what is happening in the church at all times.
Well, and occasionally urges him to do his job more properly or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or not to do his job.
Yes, that too.
There seem to be so many people in this movie who don't want him to do what he's good at doing.
Yeah. So, but he does establish at this point that he's like a good fundraiser for the church, and that's like kind of his job, right? So then we get we have him going back to his church, and there's this stupid, pointless scene where there's like a lurking priest outside smoking a cigarette that catches him as he's coming in. And he's like, hey, am I a jump scare? And they're and like, no, you're actually not relevant to the film at all. He's like, oh, OK, in that case.
This is what I'm saying. Why are all of these priests individually like so rugged and self-damned?
Right.
Like they're like, they're having beers, smoking cigarettes, like. Saying like whispering weird nothings into each other's ears as they pass.
Yeah.
It's so odd. They're so suspect.
Well, so I think that we're trying to like establish a difference between these very worldly priests here and Father Andrews that we'll meet later. That is the like the good, pure priest.
Lame.
Yeah. If worldly is like Da Vinci Code-esque priesthood.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're nailing it.
For sure. 100%. Yeah.
So, okay, but then he gets a very important call. He gets one of those, I'm on my way kind of phone calls, right?
I never do that, and I feel like I should.
No.
Right? Just pick up a phone, hear a second and a half of whatever someone said, and then hang up on them?
Sure. But yeah, but he has to go to this very important priest meeting full of priests and lawyers and people in, you know, very important looking regalia. This is where they tell him about the fact that a priest was found hovering over a murdered guy last night.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Did anyone notice that he started his day checking stocks?
Yes.
I thought that was very, you know, very holy of him. Very 2004.
Very
2004.
You're in a tax-free religious institution that gets 10% of everyone's income. You don't need a fucking portfolio, man. No. You have a city made of Nazi gold.
Right?
Right? Like, there aren't a lot of people who don't need to invest in the stock market. I would venture Catholic Church is one of those people.
Hey, everyone's got their morning routine.
Right? That's true. So,
yeah, you got to check and see. This is also where we will introduce the central conceit of this movie, which is the craziest possible conceit, which is that the Catholic Church is really out on a limb when a priest does something wrong.
Yeah, right. They don't know what to do about all this controversy.
Yeah. What does he say? They're gonna have a field day.
Yeah, the press is gonna have a field day.
But that implies that they do shady shit in the first place,
right?
Yes. Right. It's like they're kind of like dog whistling themselves.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so crazy about this movie. At no point will this movie go, I mean, we have a department for this. We've been kids since the 50s.
Right. Yes.
So, okay, but apparently the priest wanted to see Father Christian Slater personally, right? That's who he requested. So now Father Christian Slater has to go see Father Andrews, the innocent murder suspect.
And this is where we establish this. So again, it's like he'll only talk to you, right? So this is going to be a big twist, a huge personal relationship that will come up and reveal all the mysteries. No, it's, do you remember me from class?
No, I don't. You sure? Because I sat close to you. We talked. I borrowed a pencil from you.
I will say I was waiting for him to be like, nah, I'm just fucking with you. It's like in the most serious situation possible, you know?
Yeah.
And that is the end of their relationship.
Right. That they needed, the writer needed these two characters to be connected, and that was all the work he bothered to fucking do. So I bought you a drink. I can't. No? Okay. And that's it. So, but this is where he explains that he's innocent, but he can't tell him why he was there at the murder scene because doing so would break the seal of the confessional or whatever the fuck they say.
This is my least favorite trope in any of these movies. That is the single trope that makes this an hour and a half long.
Really.
if he would just confess, it would be over.
Well, I wrote in my notes at this point, I'm like, yep, pretty much everything about confession is bad.
Yep.
So.
Right.
Yep.
And it's worth pointing out that a ton of this is bullshit and they break these rules as a church all the time. So whenever it's a central conceit, remember, it's no basis in reality.
Well, no. There's also this moment where he goes like, you know, he's like, is there anything I can get for you? And he goes, I need my prayer book. I left it back at the seminary. And so we're thinking, okay, there's some clue in this prayer book. This is going to come back and matter in some fucking way because we don't know how poorly written this movie is yet.
I want to talk about one other thing about this scene because it is so bizarre to me. So he's fucking, hey, do you remember me from school? Will you bring me my prayer book? Would you like the left Twix or the right Twix? And so eventually Christian Slater's like, hey man, did you do a murder? And he's like, dude, what?
He answers every single question in the sketchiest way possible. He's like, oh, come on, man. Come on. You know where this is going. It's like, no, we don't.
Yes, truly. I could have opened the record by accusing Andy of murder, and Andy probably would have responded less suspiciously, depending on how many murders he's done.
Yeah, true.
Less suspiciously than Father Thomas does.
Yeah,
there is I just want to point out, aside from the fact that I've seen this movie, there is no reason to suspect that Father Thomas didn't do this murder.
Right.
No, none at all.
So, but Slater's leaving. The lawyer, Andrews's lawyer is walking, talking with him. But this is where we learn that, like, the press is all over this story, right? He walks out and there's, like, 15 reporters waiting for him out there, and they're like, hey, did you guys take a break from raping kids to kill people instead?
Yeah. No comment. Nope. No comment. Nope.
And then we see this reporter go, she's like, you know, another scandal hangs over the Catholic Church. And I'm like, okay, so this movie is aware of the kid rape thing. Cause like it was made in like 2004 that, you know, it was out by then.
Yeah, we knew.
It very much all feels like a not all priests sort of
yes,
thing.
Yes, 100%. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
There's this moment where he's talking to his buddy Henry at the bar and he goes like, so, you know, can you get that priest to talk? And he goes, in act one? Come on.
No.
So then we cut to another priest meeting, right? So Slater can explain where we are in the movie to someone else, right? He's just relaying what we just saw in the previous scene.
Yes.
So we have a whole scene where he does that and he talks about, well, you know, the confession thing. It's our own fault.
Right. And this is also the scene where we establish that he doesn't want to solve the murder. He wants to go to a fancy dinner in New York because yes. He's a fancy dinner yes. priest, not a murder again, stopping priest.
Once again, this is when you guys originally reached out about this, you compared it to him being like a godfather-esque priest. He very much is. So he's like sending nice bottles of champagne to people's tables. Like, that's not what priests do.
Not no.
red wine, if anything.
If they have the portfolio for it, though.
Right, yeah. Yes. No, yeah. Depending on how their stocks are
yeah,
doing.
No, yeah. Usually when priests are giving you wine, it's a tiny bit at a time. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, but they tell Christian Slater he's going to have to deal with this murder thing, damn it. He's the main character. So he says, all right, well, I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to get him on camera. We need to get an interview with him on news. And they're all like, wow, that sounds like a terrible idea. Is there any reason for that? And he's like, no, we wanted to introduce this news reporter character. So we're going to pretend like this makes sense.
Oh, is she going to matter a bunch? Is she going to be really interesting and move our action?
Can I say the first time when she did her first newscast, like in the very opening, when it's like her on the TV, mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be a one-off actress because her delivery there was so bad.
It was. So
it wouldn't. Sounded like she was hiding an accent.
Yes.
Like it was almost like she was speaking broken English. I had to rewind it a few times to see what her accent might have been. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then when she appeared again, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, no.
Right.
She's the co-star of the movie. Oh, yes. Buckle in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Father Christian Slater, he goes to the news, right, to set up this interview. And it turns out that him and that reporter, Madeline, go way back. Now, the movie will spoon feed us this as though something interesting is going to happen. But they were dating back when Christian Slater decided he was going to become a priest. So
the only way I can describe the sexual tension here between these two actors is
hot.
Have you ever seen where like someone manages to get in touch with a celebrity because their elderly relative is being lonely heart scammed and that celebrity has to make a video being like, hey, it's Keanu Reeves, just so you know. That's how Christian Slater will treat this actress throughout the movie.
Yeah.
She'll be like, it's been years, Daniel. And he'll be like,
yep.
So sorry,
it
what?
It has been years.
I don't think I know.
Did we go to
seminary together?
It's a bit frustrating to watch at times. To watch him be so nonchalant about the fact that she's foaming over him.
Yeah, right. Yes, movie. Right, yeah.
Especially when he gives her that kiss on the cheek at the end of this scene.
Right, which she in no way invites. Yeah.
No, not at all. Like, there was no sense. There is, like, the feeling of will they, won't they? But then he just totally breaks through it with that kiss.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so, yeah. And also she's like, you know, at one point, because he's like, I want you to interview this guy that's been accused of murder. And she's like, do you think he's innocent? And he goes like, you know, what's good is bacon cheesecake. You wouldn't think that would work together, but if you put it together,
the salty and the crunch is really good. Have you seen Heather's? I acted in that one.
He's like, hey, I brought along a list of questions for you to ask him. And he's like, fuck you. What am I, a right-wing podcast? Get the fuck out of here. And then he gets the cheek kiss. So, okay, so now we're setting up the interview. And the lawyer is laying out the ground rules. I'm like, why the fuck would the lawyer agree to this? This is so bad for his client.
Fuck, I wish someone would have asked me about this stupid press conversation. Oh, man, my guy's so guilty.
I will say, he is a pretty terrible lawyer. I think there's only one moment in this entire, like, interview session that he steps in and he's like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
And, right. and they yeah. just push him back. It's great.
So, yeah, so they dive right into the interview, and she's like, so how do you know this guy? And he's like, you know, I was priesting him, you know, like priests do. And she's like, are you aware that he's like the man whore from the opening scene? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, but he.
No, I knew he was a man whore. No, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
And then he starts defending confession, you know, the concept of confession, right? This is where he's like, look, if people are afraid that we will share every little murder that they tell us about in the confessional, they'll stop telling us about their murders.
Hey, it's me, Eli. I'm the prisoner in the other prison. I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay.
Why would we not?
With your magic spell not working anymore in exchange for murders.
So you don't understand. They tell us about their sexual improprieties too. And that's
okay,
all.
Okay, that's also. Never mind, I'm back in.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to my cell. I don't want to say why I'm here, but I think we can all guess.
Hit five Hail Marys, get it up again.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
So,
have a Gatorade.
Yeah. But then he's like, but no, this is very important for the people and for the church, because, I mean, we really have a monopoly on murder unburdening. It's a thriving business when you're the only game in town. And then there's this weird moment where she's like, okay, so did you kill the guy? And he says no, but he says it like he's considering it. Like, there's so many O's in the no that don't belong there.
The way
that he responds to each question would have you think that they're developing some really deep, like, psychological trauma with his character.
Yes.
Which I actually bet exists, but then, like, you never really see him again.
Really?
The exception of, like, one other scene.
We get one other real scene with him, yeah. So on our way out, we get Christian Slater. Now he's walking, talking with Madeline, and she's like, hey, why did you bring up the thing about the kid being a sex worker? Like, that really makes my guy look bad. And she's like, my job isn't to make your guy look good, dumbass. I'm the news.
Also, there's no way to tell this story that doesn't make your guy look bad. Like, fuck it. Let's sit down with a creative writing class at the local college and you try and fucking spin.
Here's the story prompt.
I originally had the note written down that he would love Truth Social. But then I was just like, he's like just a huge fake news proprietor in general. He literally just wants to rewrite. He's like, hey, don't do your job.
No.
Don't do that.
Everything up. Hey, look, if we were all about the truth, we wouldn't be the fucking Catholic Church now, would we?
That's right. Yes, exactly.
But then she kind of points out, she's like, hey, you know, you're really leaving, like, kind of hanging him out to dry by letting him do this interview. It's like you're trying to protect the church by throwing him under the bus. And he goes, it is like that. Yes.
Yeah,
so that's my job, that's what we're actually, doing. is to do
that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you not realize that's what we were doing? Oh, my God. Girl. Let me explain. Everyone is peasant soul fodder to us. We used to literally use their bones as the basis for our buildings, girl. Oh, did you not know? We ground the poor into literal bricks for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And the only thing that stopped us is firearms. I'm so sorry.
We still need those donations for our real estate investment.
We do. Yes, we do.
Don't get us wrong. Don't get us wrong.
We don't want to grind your bones into paste again, do you?
Yes, exactly.
So then he goes back to his little tiny apartment. And for a moment, I think we're like trying to establish how modestly he lives. But then, like, everything else we do is like, you know, fancy watch, fancy car with him.
Well, yeah. What's the deal? You know what this made me think about? His end of the day routine made me think about I have a childhood best friend who I found out within the past couple of years is now a silent monk.
Ooh.
And it's a whole, like, long story, crazy thing. But I do think about, like, people, like, what do these people do in their free time?
Yeah.
Other than trading stocks.
Well, obviously, like, trading a lot of stocks.
What is he going home and doing other than, you know, praying?
That's it. Yeah, no, you found it.
Molesting children, but they're not going to show that in the movie. Yeah.
Well, no, he's taking a break from that.
Oh,
yeah, he's taking a break from that. He's kind of doing a little bit of a... Well, no, I won't go too far.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So, but there is a moment where he lays down to sleep and the bed is just like comically small, right? There's like a Smurf bed for some reason.
It's a great. Fucking, it's a, it might as well be shaped like a race car.
Yeah. I mean, It's pretty standard, like run-of-the-mill dorm room bed. Like I was in youth group back in the day, and we would go on mission trips, and that was like every church had their like sleeping quarters with the same bunk wooden beds. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I guess that's it. That's like the priest quarters or whatever.
But they to get think the little, that that's the lifestyle, like, you know, I lived that temporarily for a couple of days every now and then. Not the lifestyle,
right?
Committing to it forever is quite the choice, yeah.
Well, but then he's got to get back in the Cadillac.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. So then he's driving around this big Cadillac. And so, but now we've got this scene where he's driving this big Cadillac over to the church that Father Andrews worked at to, you know, pick up that prayer book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we meet the, like, old lady groundskeeper here who is, I thought she was supposed to be a creepy character, but then I thought she was supposed to be comic relief, and now I just don't fucking know.
Okay, can I say, I went through the exact same thing where I was like, maybe if I just make stuff up about this character, the movie will get interesting. She's the murderer.
She's so static. I think she was supposed to be the comic relief. But the thing that confused me so much about her is like, she was maybe the last character that should have taken on that role.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, stiff old lady. So there is a weird line here that it's a bad writer, but the line is amazing. She goes like, you know, I want you to know that Father Andrews didn't do that. You know, he's not the kind to do that. We've had some priests in here that, and I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Look, every priest who I've taken care of has done a murder or two, but not Andrews.
He's the least murdery of all the priests I know. Yeah.
Yeah. While you're at it, name some names.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I did. There's a magic spell. I fucking watched the
Yeah. So, yeah, but he's got no follow ups. He just gets the prayer book, takes Father Andrew's mail and heads out. But this is where, like, we have, like, the second meeting with Andrews where he's read his mail now. And it turns out that there's some fucking gay shit in there.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is fucking... So, this is really exciting. Now that we have been on YouTube, Andy, I don't know if you've experienced this, but now that we've been on YouTube for 6.5 minutes,
yes.
Occasionally people who have found us through YouTube will be like, hey, are you interested in joining this drama that you've heard nothing about? Now, as someone who wasted decades of my life and also a tremendous amount of No Illusions mental health trying to get involved in podcast drama, I have since learned my lesson, and I'm like, oh, no, thank you. That's what this movie is. It's like, oh, maybe you've heard of Equality. It's a movement from the late 90s, early 2000s that tried to create a separate service where gay men could receive communion. And I'm like, no, I fucking haven't heard of those.
No, actually. But thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
What's your goal in letting us know?
Yeah.
That is my other thing with this movie is like, every time they give us a bit of real world, you know, knowledge, you know, something that happens in the real world, I'm like, so why do you want us to know this? Why do you want us to know that this pedophilia is going on? Oh, which, by the way, in this scene, it seems like they're kind of torn on how they should weigh pedophilia and being gay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's like, people are going to think you're gay and a pedophile, but we're not going to make any distinction between those two things.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
which one's worse? Question mark.
Right. Yeah. The movie has no fucking idea because it's really 2004. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, I wrote my notes at that point because the line is basically, hey, if you counsel gay people, you know, folks will think you're a pedophile. And I'm like, no. The fact that you're a Catholic priest means people are going to think you're a pedophile, bro. The correlation goes the other way here.
Honestly, admitting that you're gay seems to be the makes me believe that you're a pedophile less.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, at this point, Andrews is like, you're just worried about the church's reputation instead of the souls of suffering men. And he gets all preachy on him and everything. And
he's like, oh, my God, did you not hear? I'm so sorry. Let me explain. So the bricks, right? The bricks were originally made out of mortar, but bone dust. We read about this seminary. We went to seminary together. Did you not? We taught us in class.
I do just find it so funny how, like, he went through all this trouble of getting Slater there to be. He's like, it has to be this guy. This guy has to pray for me. But it seems like all he wants to do is tell him how bad of a priest
holier than thou he is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, do you want me to leave?
Right.
You want me to leave? Yeah. Actually, yeah, this guy is a pedophile. Fucking get him.
I want me to leave. All right. Well, I'm pretty sure that's priest for getting served. So we need to give Christian Slater a minute to apply some ointment. But we'll be back in a flash with even more of The Good Shepherd. Father Clements, thank you so much for coming.
Of course, Father Thomas. They said you wanted to see only me.
I did. I did. Do you remember me from class?
Not really.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry, what did you need from me?
Nothing. I wanted to ask if you remembered me.
Oh, that was it. Got it. Okay. Hey, while I'm here, did you murder someone?
Father Clements, what are you asking me?
I understand. What do you mean? What do you mean? What am I?
I'm a priest, a man of the cloth.
Right. You're a priest who's been arrested for murder.
I can't believe this.
You can't believe that you've been arrested?
My friend from seminary.
I don't remember you at all.
My fellow brother of the cloth accusing me of murder.
This is what I thought you wanted to talk about. You said you'd only talk to me. And again, you're under arrest for murder.
Oh.
Yeah.
I sat like three rows back on the left-hand side.
I don't remember, man.
Okay.
A lecture? And then you pay me $50 for the weasel farm. No, don't hang up. Dang.
Hey, Eli, what's the matter?
Hey, Noah, I'm trying to get some extra scratch for my weasel farm, but nobody supports my dreams.
Well, that's because they're bad, Eli. But hey, if you want to save some money without alphabetically bothering the contacts on your phone, you should try Rocket Money.
What's Rocket Money?
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money can track your subscriptions and has the ability to cancel unwanted ones with the app and a few taps, giving users an easy way to stop paying for things they don't use.
Why, that's a great way to save money.
It sure is. Plus, the app consolidates checking, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give users a clear view of their financial picture.
All right, Noah, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/awfulmovies. That's rocketmoney.com/awfulmovies. rocketmoney.com/awfulmovies.
All right, Noah, thanks. Now, what if I told you that the average weasel has more down than a goose twice its weight?
The answer is still no, man.
Twice the down. Weasel down.
And we're back for more of this shit. We're going to rejoin the inaction with Christian Slater driving to that gay-ass church that Father Andrews was going to, that equality church.
And can I spoil something? This turns out not to have anything to do with the movie.
No relevance
whatsoever. Not at all.
He goes here. It doesn't matter. We're going to get a red herring about who killed the kid, which we'll talk about in a second. But, like, there are, what, 15 minutes of this movie that turn out to be about literally nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. This scene, like, in a nutshell, is he goes into the church, someone clocks him for not being gay, says, you should probably get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
And then he leaves.
And then he does.
And then he comes after him and he says, actually, I'm sorry, I was a little worked up.
Yeah. Hey, like, I'm sorry. I was supposed to be expositing and I ran you off. What am I even fucking doing? So, and this guy must just walk around in his life just constantly spilling exposition to every fucking buddy, right?
One must imagine.
Because he's just like, because Christian Slater's like, yeah, well, you know, I was curious about Father Andrews. And he's like, Father Andrews, why, he's the one who was arrested for this, but blah, blah, blah. And just tells us everything we need to know, including the fact that the prostitute kid was in the habit of blackmailing his Johns sometimes, right? Like,
right.
So, like, that, in case anybody's wondering why someone might have murdered him.
Now, I want to be clear that it is just sloppy writing, but the way in which this character talks about the kid
is really,
I'm the murderer.
It's really gross. It's really, I thought he was the killer when he was talking. He was like, he shakes his little ass. I was like, bro.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like, you have to think that knowing the person was murdered, you would keep the, and I'm glad, to yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Can't stop thinking about that little ass. Rest in peace. Yeah.
Yes.
<You know? laughs>
My six-year-old has begun to read children's mysteries, which he likes quite a bit. And if you haven't read children's mysteries, it's always a stolen cake and then someone walks in and goes, I gotta get this frosting off my hands. Yeah. That's how this character talks about this. He might as well be covered in blood and then at the end just be like, I'm from the butcher shop.
Yeah, right.
Because again,
right.
He didn't
yes,
do it.
Exactly.
This movie
right.
is
he
terrible.
Has nothing to do with anything.
Could we, I'm sorry, I will say, could we argue though, and not to give the film too much credit, which I'm about to do like around the middle of this film, could we argue that they do a consistently good job throughout the film of throwing us off the track?
I mean, sure because
yeah.
the
if you
track
don't care about your
nuts.
Plot, yeah. Think of a number between 1 and 100. I was thinking
hand.
Of 3.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, right. I mean, the track is a fucking piece of dental floss, like pulled across a ravine or something. So it's fairly easy, but yes, they do. So yeah, so this guy's telling him all about how much that murdered kid deserved to be murdered. And then we learn that this was also Madeline's source, right? Because he was wondering how she knew that. The kid used to be the victim used to be a prostitute. Well, it was he talking to this fucking exposition guy, right?
That's all this guy does. They actually, it wasn't even the church. They were reaching for the same apple at the supermarket. And he was like, hey, sorry, real quick. Go ahead and take that. Little whore ass. Just married man.
Be murdered. So, but then Slater goes to see, I have him down as Slater because I can't just say Christian in this movie, right? So Father Christian Slater goes to see Madeline.
Yeah. Madeline has a monologue in this scene that, like, whether you want to look at this fortunately or unfortunately, like, I watched it twice because it was pretty well done.
Okay.
She
worked on this with her coach,
acting,
you can
yeah,
tell.
She
yeah.
worked on this one before the
oh,
shoot.
Oh, yeah, her whole, like, you know, I was supposed to be proud of you for leaving me thing. Yeah.
Week one of shooting, for sure.
Yes.
She's got a lot of energy.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, like, this scene might have been interesting if Christian Slater didn't look at her the way someone looks at me when I don't realize they don't like those kind of jokes, right? She's in the midst of doing it, right? And he's like...
Yeah. Yeah, so, but and then he's like, you know, I felt a calling to help the poor. And she's like, well, actually, you don't in any way, right? You're a PR guy for a child rape cabal. And he's like, right, no, I am, though. I am that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Is this guy actually good at his job? It's just, it doesn't make sense to me because people either want him to do his job better or not do it at all.
No, that's true.
Right.
Right. They're giving us mixed messages on this shit. Yeah.
I don't really know why this story revolves around him.
Really? Yeah. Well, because he went to seminary with the guy. I don't know if you weren't paying attention earlier, but they sat
three
two,
seats back. Yeah.
Well, oh.
That's it. The writer thought that's so amazing that the writer was just like, that's enough to carry the film.
I feel like they could have played. We couldn't have at least gotten a flashback.
Right.
You know,
sure. Or, hey, since this movie has nothing going for it, why don't you put a complex relationship that we can flashback to and slowly reveal between these two?
How funny would it be if we got a flashback to the two of them in the back of class? And it's like a total one sided memory where Father Andrews was like, talking to Slater and Slater wasn't even listening. Yeah. He was just paying attention in class. Just talking to a brick
it's
wall
a
the whole time.
Yeah, it's a series of like one-offs of them in conversation, but then it flashes
like
back later and he's alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Just totally insane. Yeah.
So, okay.
I love church.
So now we're back at the fucking priest smoke-filled room to talk about how, wait, she gets the phone call, right? This is where she gets the phone call that Father Andrews is dead.
Okay. I want to point something out. I spent the rest of this movie, every time they introduced a suspect, going, okay, well, how would that person get into prison and murder someone? Right?
Yes.
But don't worry. The answer, let me spare you the time, podcast listener. The answer is fuck you. Fuck
yes,
you. The person who did it, I don't know how
you.
They got in. And nobody.
There's no connection to prison at all. Yeah.
Yield Epstein, you know?
Right.
Exactly. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. O'Malley.
I should be a lot more upset. I didn't even think about the fact that they didn't tie that loose end up.
Yeah.
Of course because, not. Why
and you want to know, you know, want to know why? Because the Epstein situation has been so normalized that I don't bat an eye when someone randomly dies in prison.
Yeah, murder no, people randomly right. get murdered in prison all the time. Yeah.
Happens all the time.
So, okay, so now he goes back to his bosses. They got to figure out how to spin the suicide, right? And Father Christian Slater doesn't really think it was a suicide. He was hung in the, or he was hanging in the showers, but he doesn't buy that he hanged himself.
And again, the concept of this objection is like, no, 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 guys, he wouldn't kill himself. He loved heaven. And everyone else in the movie is like, oh no, he was lying. That's what we're saying to you, Christian Slater. And he's like, no, 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 because he wouldn't tell. And it's like, no, again, lying about the murder
that he committed. That's the other explanation.
And what is this bullshit with him instant? Like, now he's all of a sudden, he's like, no, I believe him. And I have every reason to.
Why? What changed you? That lady, the caretaker lady, was that convincing? You could tell she can sniff out a murdery priest when she sees one?
Something tells me that they were trying to tie it to a moment earlier where Father Andrews, I think they're trying to tie it to the moment where Father Andrews said he was praying for Daniel.
Oh,
and he's like kind of having this like,
oh, he died praying for me kind of a thing. Yeah, okay.
This post-mortem thought now where he is like, oh, yeah, he was like a martyr for me or whatever. Mm. And now he feels this
like.
Wait
a second. How did you get into the church?
But once again, like, here we go with this bullshit. It's like, he didn't ask to be prayed for.
No!
I hate when people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to pray for you. No, because you know what? Well, obviously we'll get on to the next scene where we find out what happens next, but it just gets him into more bullshit that he doesn't need to be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But first he's got to go and he's got to read the press release that they prepared for him. Now keep in mind that his job is the PR guy. That's what he does. And they're like, we've written a press release. You have to go say it. He's like, no, I write press releases for you. This is backwards. But they make him go outside and read the press release. And then all the reporters are trying to get by to ask him more questions. They've got a couple of guys like holding everybody back, but only Madeline knows about the side. So she comes out from the side and she gets him like, you know, she gets a couple of extra questions in.
She gets him with a zinger. She's like, am I supposed to be proud of you now? And it was girl, not the time.
Yeah, hot fire. Well, there's this moment where he like, you know, she's like, you know, that's not true. You know, he didn't kill himself. And he angrily crumbles up the press release and he throws it away. But he does that in full view of the press that he just read that release to.
Hey, did you not like that release you read? Seems someone like you're go having grab a sloppy, dramatic moment. Yeah, can I have that?
Yeah, right. So then he goes to see like this different cardinal or bishop that I don't think we've ever met, but they all kind of look the same to me, to ask if he can take over Father Andrews's church.
Dude, I thought this guy was the killer too. I thought he was too. Why not? Because, yeah, he has this weird, they have this conversation and then he has this weird parting line. I don't know exactly what he says, but like he says this weird, like implicating thing before he walks away.
Yeah, he says something about like, be careful not following the cardinal's orders or whatever. Something.
Don't say no to the cardinal.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay. And he's going to molest me?
Yeah, right. That's, Well, then,
obviously.
Yeah. No, he said he didn't.
Right.
He said he didn't.
Yeah, but this bishop or whatever the fuck this guy is, he goes like, you know, wouldn't you rather be doing high-powered business stuff and eating dinners in New York City? And he goes, no, I gave him my word that I would take care of things. He's like, oh, well, you know, okay.
Okay, if you say the movie's about that now, I guess the movie will be about that now.
Yeah. So we get a scene of him moving into Father Andrews's church. This week we meet the old lady caretaker again. And there's supposed to be this, like, this place sure is crappy moment, but so was his last place, right? Like, that little tiny place with the little tiny bed also sucked.
Also, we have seen, oh boy, is my church poor, as a weird plot point more times than I can count. And it's so bizarre. It would be like if a running joke on this show was, he's poor because we don't pay him. It's you. Your church. Give the church. You don't pay taxes. You have a city made of Nazi gold. Just
give. Yeah, especially it's a Catholic church. Yeah.
Give the other church. What are you fucking, the tax man? It's fucking hard. It's literally the only reason your church is ever poor is because you really had to pay out with all the kid fucking.
Right.
Like, yes. That's it. That's the only reason.
Can I also just say he there's all of these, like, obviously the Christian Slater lingering shots, but the amount of shots of him walking around like, hey, you know, like it's a bit of a fixer upper, but it'll do. You know, it's like as if this isn't what every single Catholic church in the country looks like.
Right.
They're all old and they all look straight out of the 70s because that's when they were built.
No, they look as similar as fucking Olive Gardens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And then, so, and, well, and then we get this scene where, like, Father Andres's mom shows up and we think maybe she's the killer because otherwise, why the fuck would we have a scene where they spend 5 minutes having tea together?
Yeah, and she sucks. She's terrible.
She's pretty awful.
She's the worst. Yeah.
She's like, you know, my son told me you were a good man. She said you're the only recognizable actor in this thing, so I can trust you.
I saw Heathers. Will you act with me? No.
But yeah, I guess she was just there to give him some motivation or something. And he's like, no, I've already moved into his church. I don't need that.
I'm already motivated in a different manner.
Yeah, well, guess what? This is the problem I was talking about. She's like, yeah, he said you were a good man. Like, he prayed for you. And look where that got him. Yeah. Now he has two church jobs.
Right.
Exactly.
And he's missing his dinner in fucking New York. Yeah. So, okay. So then we get this long scene of him going through and he's like running his finger over stuff in the church like a bitchy mother-in-law or something, checking out all the vestments. And then he has to do confession, right? So he goes to their little confession booth.
Oh, and also everyone's there. Like, he walks directly over to the confession booth, like, after doing his long, like, strut through the church. So there's probably people lined up, like, watching him. Right?
Yeah, as soon as he goes watching in there.
Father, I got work. Can you do less of a dramatic?
It's like the bathroom on an airplane or something. Yeah.
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 Five Hail Marys.
Yeah. So we get the first confession, and it's this kid from, like, the homeless shelter nearby. And he explains that the lady who runs the shelter makes the kids go confess there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And there is...
That's Sunday school.
Yeah.
That is literally Sunday
school. Really? So, and there's... I thought the only funny moment in the entire movie, and the movie steps on its own fucking choke, he goes, hey, look, you know, this is confession. You don't have to confess if you don't want to. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, it gets gone instantly.
Which would have been funny if Christian Slater hadn't gone, huh, he actually left, is the punchline of that joke.
Oh, yeah, because he has to narrate what was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the next person who comes in for confession is his friend Henry, because it's time for exposition.
Hey, do you remember Henry? Do you remember Henry? That's the friend who's associated with the church but doesn't work there.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure you keep Henry in mind.
He could be important
fucking
later.
Fucking remember who Henry is.
Henry
telling you.
Every time Henry shows up, he is depressed. I mean, waiting for his death to come.
Yeah.
You know, at every moment,
Henry,
I thought he was going to die.
Who's the main detective in V for Vendetta?
He was. Yeah.
That's why he looks so familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, but he and Henry go to the kitchen to eat some stew and explain what the point of this part of the movie is.
Oh my God.
Right. Cause Henry wants him to go back and be a high powered business priest. And he wants to stay back here and investigate crimes for some fucking reason.
This meal was the epitome of mundane church life. Like, this is what I believe the 5 to 9 after the 9 to 5 to be.
Sure.
Truly, yes.
The stew looks horrible.
It does.
Mm-hmm. The kitchen looks dated and dilapidated.
It does.
Oh, the wine.
They're drinking the communion wine.
The communion wine out of the screw top bottle. It just looks like slop.
It's pretty fucking sad. Yeah. There's also this moment where, like, Christian Slater forgets to say grace because he's so worldly.
Oh, yeah.
He's not Catholic. He's not Catholic enough.
Christian of him.
Yeah. And that stew doesn't seem to sit right with him after dinner when they're walking out. He's like rubbing his stomach. Like,
oh, I missed that.
He's kind of rough. He doesn't look in pain, but with the amount of stew that was on his plate, I can only assume the fact that he was rubbing his stomach meant that it wasn't sitting right.
There's a moment here too where they're eating the stew and, like, he's like, you know, Henry is like, I gotta warn you, there's, you know, it's, something's coming down the pipe here. This movie could get interesting any minute now. Like, no, I don't believe.
I don't think it does.
Yeah. So now he's sermoning on Sunday morning, and this is where we get the title drop.
This is my favorite scene of the entire movie.
I love this scene. Okay.
It's awesome.
So here's the thing.
In a well-written movie, what happens is when the priest has had their character turn, right, and they're about to dedicate themselves to figuring out the murder, they would give a sermon that hints that they've had a change of heart, right? Perhaps a story from the Bible that lets everybody know they're on the case. But instead, he's like, that guy didn't do a murder, and I'm going to find out who fucking did
it. Yeah.
The end of my sermon.
Yes.
And his whole church, which again, this is his first sermon as their new pastor, are like,
okay.
Anna Dominus mene, mene. I'm only here because my wife won't fuck me if I don't come. I don't want to be in the murder mystery.
Go now with Pete.
Just imagine the usual crowd at a Catholic church, even in 2004, right? Old ladies, husbands hoping they'll get fucked, just being like, oh, did you hear that? The priest's going to solve a murder.
I don't know why he would tell us about that. But of course,
can you imagine? Imagine the car ride home after that sermon.
Yeah.
You know, just total silence until the doors close, and then it just, everyone goes buck wild.
Yeah, right.
Hey, kids, I don't want you to go to confession to that guy. He's solving a murder.
They're like, that was awesome.
No, we're going to go to St. Crispin's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but then, of course, there's a plant from the church that hears him say this and then grumbles his way out to go to the payphone to tell, you know, to warn him, oh, he's going to solve the murder. So, okay. So then Father Christian Slater shows up at the shelter to see the lady who's making kids go to confession. This is Mrs. Gallagher. And I wrote my notes at this point, motherfuckers, you don't get to add suspects 54 minutes into your fucking movie, okay?
But they sure fucking do.
Yeah.
Miss Gallagher's gonna fucking star in this last 37 seconds of film.
I guess. Yeah. He goes up to her and he's like, hey, are you the one like forcing kids to go to confession? And she's like, fuck you.
Fuck you, you piece of shit. You come here into my stew kitchen and tell me which children I can and can't abuse. I'll fucking kill you in my bare hands. And look, if I may offer something brave, the only way one could be fooled into thinking that this is suspicious behavior is to have never met a woman of Irish descent over the age of 50, because this is all of them. This is all, everyone, you show me, you know, I always say, I'll stop believing in astrology when you introduce me to a nice Scorpio. I'll start suspecting this character when you introduce me to an Irish woman who doesn't talk this way to absolutely everybody at all times.
An Irish Catholic for that matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Okay, maybe, yeah. But yeah, but he says, you know, maybe I could help you. And she's like, fuck you in your fancy car. Get the fuck out of here. And she sends him packing.
I will say they take great care of that car. I went back to make sure every single shot, it is in pristine condition.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. I'm some
fresh out the car wash.
All right. Yeah. They were not allowed to scratch that fucker up. All right. So back home that night.
It's a loner.
We have this like long fucking. Okay. So Christian Slater is asleep in the church and he hears a noise. So he's like, oh, maybe it'll be any single fucking thing happening in this goddamn movie. So he walks around in search of a jump scare. Now, at this point, I'm watching at 1.5 speed. And this...
3 speed. No illusions. I was at 3x speed. I was at Benny Hill levels of speed. And I was still bored watching the movie.
This was actually, ironically, the like one point in the movie where I really did slow down because I was noticing so many stupid things about this moment.
Ooh.
That story-wise made absolutely no sense. Okay, he starts this like on his bed, just like champ chilling on his phone.
Obviously.
And he's like, I don't know. Oh, he's talking to, Mark? Is his name Mark? The guy who just keep...
Henry?
Henry.
Talking to Henry,
yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'm a little busy.
No.
But then again, he's the guy who just decided to take on two jobs because it was his calling.
And a murder mystery.
A murder mystery. So if he is a little busy, then it's his fault. Yeah, I said if he is busy, it's a terrible excuse because he made it very clear earlier that he wanted to take on two jobs, that it wasn't going to be too much work.
Right.
Okay. And then, well, you can continue, but his first weapon that he grabs when he goes to investigate the noise is an umbrella.
Mary fucking Poppins up in his shit.
He holds it upside down.
Yes, wrong. Like, if you were going to hit somebody with an umbrella, that would be a really bad way to do it.
Well, his grip is so specific on it as well. I can't get over it. He grips it directly at the center. So I just want to know how he was planning to use
it. It feels like he was going to offer them fresh ground pepper.
Literally.
literally.
But eventually, though, and I do mean eventually, it's a couple of kids from the shelter that have escaped from the shelter and are sleeping in the basement of the church because Mrs. Gallagher is scary.
And again, we have already established that. The kid from Confession earlier said that Mrs. Gallagher sucks. Then we went and talked to her and she sucked. This scene does not add anything to the Mrs. Gallagher sucks thing.
No, I would disagree. I would disagree because in this scene, we learn that Miss Gallagher punishes them not just regularly, but bad.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? That's true. She does. She punishes them.
She punishes them bad.
There's also this moment with Christian Slater where he's like, okay, you can stay here, but you can't stay together because it's a teenage boy and a teenage girl, right? And it's supposed to be this very, like, you know, we're going to keep things proper here. But what it actually is you stay here, teenage boy. I'm taking your girlfriend with me.
Are you aware of dibs? Okay, go on.
Hey, yeah. Lick her real quick.
Yeah, this is how you take care of a woman. No. He does another great thing in this scene that was weird and specific, and it just made me giggle because they decided to keep it in. When he throws the door open to the room that they're sleeping in, and he goes to turn the light on, he knocks over the sign that tells you to turn off the light when you leave the room.
Oh, I missed that.
And they like keep it in. Just
amazing. Now that light's going to be on forever, right?
I thought it was lovely. So delightfully ironic. Yeah.
So then it's the next day, and he's chatting with the caretaker lady, Mrs. Donnelly. Apparently, the kids left in the night, right? He wakes up in the morning, and they're nowhere to be found. And then we watch him dial a goddamn phone number with a fucking rotary phone. And you wonder why we even bothered keeping the technology before we came up with the keypad.
He does nothing to hide how frustrated he is by it either.
Yeah.
He is pissed.
So many fucking nines.
I feel like we came up with 911. We didn't have the rotary phone in mind. But he's calling Madeline for a meetup and she's like, oh, hey, you know what? Meet me in the middle of my live broadcast in front of City Hall. Because that's what he pulls up to, right? Clearly, that's where they decided to meet. And then he fucking tells her about the last scene or two. And she points out, she's like, well, you know, that Mrs. Gallagher seems quite suspicious. And he goes like, hey, you know what? Now that you mention it, she is a little suspicious.
You know, it wasn't the first two groups of children that separately said in vagaries that she was abusive or her incredibly suspicious behavior. But now that you mention it, let's do a priest and a reporter stakeout.
Yes.
Yeah. Once I got over my feelings being hurt, my head became a little clearer. You know,
I guess so. Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, now Christian Slater and Madeline are staking her out. Ultimately, she leaves the shelter and she goes to the church. His church, right? The one that he just took over. So he confronts her on her way out. Madeline looks around and it turns out that she's got a tape recorder where she's been recording these kids' confessions.
But this movie is from 2004. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, ugh. I found your secret tape recorder.
So but here's the other thing, too. Like, if you had a tape recorder like that, if you've ever worked with a tape recorder, those tapes, they have like 24 minutes or something worth of
seconds.
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing. So, like, how was it being turned on? It makes you, she'd have to have like a series
doing it in
of
between
them.
Every other one.
Right.
Oh, hey, it's me, Mrs. Donnelly again. Also, I fucked a dog or something. Click. Are you changing a tape? No, I fucked a dog. And I want to know what I should do about it. All right.
Those
we're
are
good
my
to
Hail
go.
Marys that you're hearing. Yeah, right, right. But yeah, they figure it out and he's like, have you been listening to these children's confessions? And she's like, I don't have to answer to the likes of you. And I'm like, I feel like you do, though, because you
literally like, do. He's the head of the church.
That was a crime.
Yeah, she says, this isn't over.
She's not a priest. It's not. You don't have fucking it's in one way state. No.
Yeah, but so she storms out of there and they just let her fucking go. And then Madeline is like, you want to listen to these confessions, though?
Credit to Madeline there, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, let's listen to fucking tapes.
No, we have
what about the weird, you know, because I'm very pissed off by this will they, won't they, this weird moment of connection where they're like going behind the altar and she's it, like, They're trying to make it like romantic and whimsical. She's like, always wondered what happened back here. So mysterious. That doesn't sound cool like you think it does.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it sure okay.
Right, right.
You know, you don't want to know what goes on back here.
Yeah. So, yeah, she follows him to flirt and he's like, no, I'm still a priest. And Jesus looks at him like, well done. We see like we cut to Jesus on the fucking cross going like, all right, well, I didn't have to die for that one at least. You know? All right. Well, literally closing the door on the sexual tension is such a perfect metaphor for this movie that we kind of have to pause there. But first, let me give Act 3 the hard sell. Is the murderer the cardinal who keeps steering our hero away from his investigation? Is the killer the sinister woman who runs the shelter with an iron fist to protect her dark secret? Or will it turn out to be somebody with no motivation we could have possibly discerned until he spells it out in the fucking confession at the end of the movie because this movie was written by an idiot? Find out the answers to these questions, and that's it. When we return for the guy in the hat killed another guy in the hat conclusion of The Good Shepherd, or The Confessor, if you're not listening to this in Canada.
Hello? I'm on my way.
Hey, sorry. I'm not sure why I did that. Who is this? Craig. Got it. What's up, Craig? Yeah, nope, I am on my way. I am actually on my way now. Sorry, Craig, me again. Which bowling alley? The one on Washington Avenue. Okay, I am sorry. I don't know why I do that. I think it's a phone anxiety thing. Like I'm afraid of the silence of when the call is over, but you haven't hung up yet. So I just kind of, I want to rush there, you know? Well, but no, I just want you to know that, like, I appreciate you. Yeah, no, I heard you. Yeah, bowling alley is on fire. Got it. Coming right now. I love you. Hey, Craig, sorry. One more. I don't love you. I said that as an I'm getting off the phone thing. And you got it. Okay. I didn't, it's not that I don't like. Okay. I'm coming. I know there's a fire. I'm coming. Couldn't hear that at all because of the headphones. Hey, podcast listener. I'm Eli Bosnick.
And I'm No Illusions, here with a very important message. As those of you who support us on Patreon know, for the entire time we've done this show, we've charged our patrons per creation over on patreon.com, which is where we make most of our living.
So if you pledged a dollar every time we made a podcast, you gave us a dollar.
But due to some Apple Store shenanigans that are genuinely not Patreon's fault, starting in November, everyone on Patreon is switching over to a monthly plan.
And the good news is that this change will be automatic. If you give us $5 for 5 shows a month and a bonus episode right now, you will still give us $5 a month.
If you have your pledge limited to only give us $3 a month, you'll still only give us $3 a month. Nothing about how much money you give us is changing. You don't need to update, opt in, or sign up. If you give us money, you are good to go.
And as easy as this transition is going to be, we do have one favor to ask you in return. Please, don't freak out and destroy our livelihood.
That's right. We know that change can be scary. The first time you see the number 5 on your profile instead of the number 1, you might be really tempted to run to a public forum and warn everybody to cancel their pledges quick before Patreon charges them $40 a month. But please, don't do that, because we're not charging you $40 a month. We're charging you $5 a month because nothing is changing.
Nothing at all.
Now, you might think you found a flaw in the system, and if you have, we are grateful for your help. Please message us privately right away, just in case you're mistaken, before you freak out in any public forum where there's a chance that people seeing your post believe you and thus destroy our livelihoods.
And look, we know that you don't have to do anything. Everything will be the same. Can be tricky to remember. And that's why we've built Please Don't Freak Out and Destroy Our Livelihood.com. Please Don't Freak Out and Destroy Our Livelihood.com uses the latest in hypertext protocol technology to lead anyone with access to the World Wide Web to this video. So if you see someone freaking out in a manner that might destroy our livelihood, you can direct them to Please Don't Freak Out and Destroy Our Livelihood.com instead.
Now, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, you know what would be funny? I should pretend to freak out about this change as a joke, but no. You shouldn't do that.
You should not. 11 out of 8 scientists agree that 100% of fake internet freakouts, no matter how exaggerated or obvious, still hold a tiny possibility of destroying our livelihood if someone doesn't understand that you're joking. So don't do that. Please. Not even as a joke about this joke. Don't do it, even at all.
Again, all those changes won't be taking place until November, and we'll remind you lots of times before then. But if you're confused or nervous or anything like that, don't hesitate to reach out to us over at patreon.com, where our top team of people whose livelihoods you're about to destroy will be happy to explain it as many times as you need.
Please don't freak out and destroy our livelihood.com. Literally nothing is changing.
And we're back for still more of this shit. We're going to rejoin the action with the guy tailing Christian Slater, like watching him shake hands with parishioners on the way out of Sunday services. Right. He's smoking a cigarette, standing off to the corner. And I just kind of wanted Christian Slater to look up and go like, I can fucking see you, man. You're very obviously right there, half behind the corner. But
it's like somebody it's like someone signing autographs. Like, yeah, one second, fella. I'll be right over.
Yeah, right.
I'll be right over.
But then Henry swings by. He's got some bad news. There's been a complaint about Father Christian Slater. So he goes to the principal's office, right? The priestly principal's office. It turns out that Mrs. Gallagher is there to issue a formal complaint about him harassing her and following her around and shit.
And because you can't have a poorly movie without the character won't just say what happened to end the conversation trope. And so he doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I discovered that she was taping people's confession, the sacred right of which we protect life, limb, and liberty to defend. Instead, he goes, I mean, you know, Irish ladies be like that. And they're like, no.
Yeah, he's like,
we're the Catholic Church and we don't think Irish ladies be like that.
I also, I think it's so, I guess, hey, call him a martyr. Call him humble, but he had no reason to be like, hey, that's just her being her. She walked him down for.
Yes,
that was a whole read down and it was lethal.
Well, there's also because they push her out right there. They're like, well, thank you for bringing us this to our attention. And then they.
Sorry, if you're in the room, he's going to say the obvious thing that happened.
Yeah, right. Because we can't possibly write it such that he doesn't. Right. They push her out. And then he goes, she was taping confessions. And they're like, taping confessions, schmaping confessions. What we really have to worry about is there's even a moment where like they go, he says that, you know, she's been taping confessions. And one of them goes, did you listen to my confession? I mean, the confessions.
what was your favorite part?
No.
Let me explain. Okay. It's not like foxes that look like foxes. It's they're sexy lady foxes.
So
they got like tits.
Yeah. But then they drop the bomb on him. They know that he went to gay church and sat in it for 8 seconds. They're like, we know you went to equality. And he's like, well, I didn't say mass there or give communion. I didn't even do my magic spells. Didn't even use my powers.
I was just curious. Literally.
I just wanted to go see how it feels.
Yeah. But they say that counts. That's enough. So as a punishment, they're going to send him to New York to go have lunches and dinners and do banker stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that's when they're like, you just forget about it. You can't save St. Dominic's, but like clearly he can. Like we just saw him letting out a well-attended mass.
Yeah.
So, you know.
To be fair, it was well-attended because they were like, no, you got to come to mass. He declares himself a set of enemies and vows to end murder.
You guys got to see this shit, okay?
I promise. He's not going to do like the Apostle Thomas. He's going to fucking promise to solve a murder.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, when I was growing up, it was always about like, oh, how fast does this priest talk? Like, which one talks the fastest?
Yeah, right.
Which one talks the slowest? No. You want this guy to talk as slowly as possible. You want every detail. Milk it.
So, yeah, but they say, like, here's a first-class ticket to New York to go do banker important stuff. And he goes, I'm not going. And then we get my best worst, right, where they ask for his clerical badge and his gun.
And what does that include, Noah?
Well, it was his car and his watch and his ability to do his. They say you can't say mass or hear confessions anymore.
His watch
is probably the biggest question mark to me is the watch.
Look, I haven't, admittedly, I'm not super familiar with what they issue, standard issue, at the Catholic Church, because I'm afraid I'll run into an Irish woman over the age of 50 sure. if I no, go no, there. Okay. But I don't think they issue the watch.
I don't know if you've seen the Vatican.
A lot of watches running around.
They've got a Rolex or two to
handle. Yeah, I feel like that's they probably a lot do of, have extra watches that they need to do something.
Standard issue, I would say.
Yeah, but they take away his ability to use his magic powers, and then they say they make him give them back his credit cards, right? His business cards. And they take his car keys. But like he's just like out at some dude's house. And there's no Uber back then, so he just has to walk out into the snow now.
It's like 9 hours to walk back.
But then, okay, that night he's back at the church. Oh, they tell him, like, you know, you've got to move out within a week. And he's like, oh, I'll be out by the end of the day. And he's not, right? Because he's asleep that night there. And then he hears a banging at the door. It's the boy of that couple of the kids that slept at his church for a night looking for the girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not there. The boy tells Father Christian Slater that he thinks Mrs. Gallagher took her and has her kidnapped in her basement or some shit. And he's like, sure, no, that I go. Why would I not think that you were an perfectly credible source on this?
Are crimes illegal in this
no,
universe?
No, obviously not, because otherwise they would call the police.
No, Catholicism is law. Okay.
Yeah. He's literally like, I'll get my reporter friend and we'll go over there. And I wanted the kid to be like, oh, no, I went to an adult, but I want you now to call the police, please.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah.
And thank you.
Actually, how many times do the police appear in this film outside of the police department?
Oh, interesting. I think it's just the one.
I think it's just the one.
Right?
Well, they, yeah.
They're really using Catholicism as law.
When they appeared at the end of the movie, I wanted someone to be like, the police.
Oh, yeah, it's fuck. Like,
who's the first
God.
Person that's getting sent to investigate this? Father Christian Slater, who is the person, like, why is he the first person to be at every scene?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right, right. Well, him and Madeline, right? So they drive over to Mrs. Gallagher's house and they hatch this plan. He's got a great idea. He says, I want you to go around the front and distract her by knocking on her door and I'll sneak in the back and I'll look around for the kid.
That plan confused me. When he was like walking and she was like, Mrs. Gallagher, when she was like banging on the door, I was like, wait, what was the goal here?
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, you could just sneak. But
it was
yeah.
a rather confusing setup, I have to say.
Yeah, but he goes in the back door. He uses the old that door was unlocked trick.
Yep.
Right. And then he starts sneaking around. She's knocking on the door. No sign of Mrs. Gallagher. So he just lets her in. And she goes, hey, do you want to split up for, you know, suspense purposes? You go downstairs, I go upstairs. She goes, oh, that'd be a great idea.
That'll slow mm-hmm. down the movie. It's so right. boring.
But of course, Madeline finds something immediately. They step on that, right? So she's like, hey, you might want to come up here. Turns out Mrs. Gallagher is dead.
Very.
She's OD'd on heroin.
Insanely chill reaction to finding someone dead.
Yeah.
Isn't it
almost like, okay, do I have to start considering you as a suspect now?
Right. Yeah. I think Madeline did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, at first I wrote, yeah, she's been elbow bitten to death, but no, that was them trying to do heroin overdose.
I genuinely could not for the life of me figure out that what they were trying to do. And when they confirmed it as heroin, it became even stupider.
Yes. Right. Right. Because apparently you just stab around like,
yeah, it looks like something actually much more horrific. It looked like someone had drained her blood.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
It looked like a rat had eaten like and sucked out, like a vampire rat had attacked her arm. Yeah. But yeah, he does some dead people magic, right? Because he's a priest. They told him he couldn't do dead people magic, but he does some dead
he doesn't.
People magic.
Do you mean is dead people magic? You mean when he like
lacerates her?
Yeah. Puts the eyes down, mm-hmm. like he closes yeah. her eyes for her.
By the and way, he says a little spell.
Yeah, when he does that, it looks like when he closes her eyes, it looks like her eyes are about to open again. Like, I think she yeah. kind of like twitches a little bit.
Like one of those dollies that does it when you sit him yeah. up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And so, but then Madeline finds the kid, the missing girl in the attic. It turned out she did have a girl locked in her attic.
And let me say, we will never hear what she did to that girl. We will never hear
scared.
What happened to her.
She's just scared of addicts.
We just know that she locked children in the attic. I wanted Kristen Slater to be like, maybe if I knew she had a kid locked in an attic, I wouldn't have
purged her soul of all sin.
Yeah, right. Oh, fuck. Yes. So
okay, so, kiddo, when you get to heaven, Miss Gallagher's gonna be there.
It's gonna be awkward.
It's gonna be awkward, but it's gonna, let me tell you, it's gonna be a sin-free Miss Gallagher. So, that'll be nice.
Sin-free, right? Tax-free.
Crash, they go up into to the attic to get her, and they're like, Monica, that's the little girl's name. So they're like, Monica, it's okay. And I'm like, in what way is it okay?
Oh, Miss Gallagher's dead and free of sin.
Yes. Don't worry. She got into heaven.
I am now thinking back to Monica. What is she afraid of? Is she afraid of the heroin person or is she afraid of Mrs. Gallagher?
Who knows?
What was scary
first? Is
she
afraid of the priests?
Yeah.
I would be.
This movie's right? So boring.
Yeah, he comes in to save
her. Still 10 minutes left.
He comes in to save her. No! No! Yeah.
Please. Every moment you save me is a moment this movie isn't over and I'm so bored.
Please, I need to tell you about Good Touch, Bad Touch.
Please change the channel to Singing with the Angels.
So now the ambulance and the cops get there and everything, but the cops are really suspicious of Christian Slater.
Okay, now I will say, this is the only realistic scene in the movie because the cops are like, so, Father, we find you with a dead body and a girl that was locked in an attic. Did you do any of this? And he's like, no. And they're like, all right, on your way. Off you go.
Yes, right. Yes.
We are the police until literally ever, apparently.
Yep.
Yep. The cops are like, if we need to get in touch with you, where will you be staying? And Maddie's like, my vagina. So we go back to Maddie's place. And here's the moment where, like, the movie is just like, okay, if ever we were going to have sexual tension, he's been fired from his priest job. He's staying at her house. This is exactly that. Nope. No, there's no tension whatsoever.
I felt like I was shot down by the movie for sex.
Right.
I'm a horrific looking man and always have been some variant on a horrific looking man. No. So there have been many an occasion in my, hey, let me own my truth. There have been many an occasion in my life where I've said, hey, friend, seems like we're having a good time. Care for some sex? And they've been like, no, get out of here. And I've been like, understandable. That's what this movie does to me. She does. In the shower. He walks in. They exchange a look.
Oh, yeah. And she looks out and they share like a quirky glance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's her response to finding out that she's being peeped on in the shower.
Yeah. She's like, oh, you.
See what you missed?
You
see
what you missed? Priest will be priest.
I guess.
I could have bought you a watch.
Right. She's like, you know, she's like, are you going to be a priest or can we fuck? And he's like, no, I still have to be a priest. And then there's this moment
still
where.
Still working down that stew.
Yeah. It feels almost like she's like suggesting that he start his own religion. You know, like maybe you could have your own Catholicism, you know, like work for Martin Luther. But yeah. And then he wakes up the next morning and catches her in the shower. And she like looks at him and he's like, was not jerking off. Because I'm a priest.
I'm just going to keep that. That's not. Just for me up here.
All right. So then he takes a cab to the church, but the cops that are investigating Mrs. Gallagher's death intercept him when he gets there.
And again, very realistic depiction of a cop who is being accused very credibly of a crime. Mm-hmm. They're like, priest, hey, Father, I'm so sorry to bother you. Turns out your fingerprints are the only ones that are on the heroin that killed that lady. So it really seems like you did that murder. Do you super Boston best friend promise you didn't do it? Oh, you do? Okay, then off you go. Off you go.
Well, was it his prints or did they plant it in his... In like his quarters.
Yeah. So
that's what it was, right?
Right. No, there was a whole interrogation here, right? So they bring her in, they bring him in, and they're like, it turns out she was murdered. She took enough heroin to like pass out, and then somebody else gave her more heroin. And he's like, oh wow, who was it? And they're like, why do you fucking think we're talking to you?
By the way, I don't mean to cut this off, but this is fucking insane. I don't know why there isn't more storyline about the entire city talking about this.
That Mrs. Donnelly was a heroin addict?
If this happened in real life, like this succession of murders and overdose, like this, people would never stop talking about this. This would be one of the biggest scandals in the Catholic Church ever.
And can I say something? I wish more little old ladies were heroin addicts because that's an adorable image.
Right. Yes. Right? Thank you. Thank you. More old ladies on heroin.
I would have preferred if it was the other old lady. That would have been really quirky.
Yeah, oh, no, like the comic relief lady would have been way better.
But
on
like
heroin.
Her thing is that
more
like
heroin
she's,
for me.
She can, yeah, she can. She's chill. She can handle it. You know,
right,
she's
yeah,
like,
yes. Right, right. She doesn't What's go going joy on, pop fellas? With a bunch of bubble gummers. Yeah.
Don't mind me.
Yeah, but so and then so the cops are like, so hey, you know that murdered kid, he sold heroin, and he's like, oh no, I didn't know. He said, did you buy heroin off him? He's like, no, he overcharged. I mean, no, I don't buy heroin from people. And the cops like, okay, but the question is, who done it? You know, and I was just like, I don't, man, there's two
no
suspects.
Idea.
And one
you introduced
dead.
All of them.
No,
one of them
like, doesn't
dead.
Fucking.
Other people, we there's like six named characters left in the movie. It might be Madeline at this point. That's kind
Who
of
the
best guess.
I just, yeah, doesn't even matter. And so, but they do a little back and forth where they say that they found heroin at his place. And then he goes, look, this scene is over. We've run out of pages of script.
I'm leaving now from this murder interrogation.
And he's like, oh, shucks. He did the I'm leaving now.
That is what they let priests do.
Well, no, that's true.
New Orleans wish they wouldn't, but they did.
All right. So now it's time to like, it's time to settle up basically here, right? So he hooks up with Maddie and he tells her that Mrs. Gallagher was murdered. And then they go back and he's like, he has to like listen to the confession tapes now because like that's the only way to find out.
Right, which means that the only reason he didn't listen to them earlier is so that the movie could have been its full
right.
91
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, of course.
Right,
of
because
course.
That the whole fucking, the entire movie hinges on how, like, no priest would break the seal of the confessional. And he's like, well, I don't know, we kind of run out of
now
ideas.
Now I'm in trouble. Fucking
yeah, right, yeah, right, right. But luckily, the first one he listens to is not only the one that matters, it's the exact part that matters, right? They start listening to it mid-confession.
As I was murdering my murder victim.
Yes, right, right. But it doesn't matter because at that moment, the killer reveals himself. Henry comes up behind them with a gun.
Hey, remember Henry? No.
It's like, no.
He had the stew.
Yeah.
He's the stew guy who kind of worked for the church and then kind of didn't.
We don't really know what he did
He's
or
like,
whatever.
Remember when your stomach hurt and mine didn't? It's because I was lying to you.
Yeah. Yes, right. Shit. I didn't eat that stew. Yeah. And of course we're like, well, I didn't see that coming, I guess, if that's the only goal.
Yeah, but I also wouldn't have seen LeVar Burton coming.
Right. Yes,
this
exactly.
This is true.
Fucking Big Bird could have done it. And he goes, no, you know, I was that he was my prostitute and he threatened to tell my wife and we're like, we don't even know that you have a wife.
You have a wife. There's nothing to this. Any right, character like, could wait. Be saying this monologue right now.
This is the part that really got me back on the whole, are they putting pedophilia and being gay on the same plane? Because his only worry is that his wife was going to find out. About what though? Right? About the fact that he was gay? Or about the fact that he is a pedophile.
Was he a pedophile?
I
think he's just gay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Catholic, so it's hard to tell.
Hard to tell.
Well, but, yeah. Didn't they say that he was the one that killed the kid?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the kid was supposed to be a kid. I think the victim was supposed to be under 18.
Really?
I think they never say in the movie that he's supposed to be.
Isn't that why they do the whole pedophile thing in the middle?
No, I think they just
no.
Do it
I think
because,
it's just
I think
because
it's
gay
looming.
Is associated with pedophile in
it's
2004.
Like, I feel that like when I'm talking to someone, I'll mention that I was born and raised Jewish because it's just looming over the conversation. I imagine that's how the church feels: is they just got to get pedophiles.
Wow, I had a totally different assumption about that. Wow.
I mean, like I said, they never say that, right? Like they never address that within the movie, but
they just like bring up the pedophile thing once randomly, and it may like it's in a situation where it makes you think, oh, was Eric Halloran under 18?
So I genuinely think that this is like a generational difference because in 2004 there genuinely was such a heavy association between just being
gay
and
being
a pedophile.
That's
what he was saying, that like if they find out that you're gay, they'll think you're a pedophile because that's just something that the church itself had established.
Oh, wow. So
was
it's
connected.
2004.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's real 2004.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
Like I genuinely, yeah, I think that's what it is.
Wow. That's crazy. I will say, just to get back to the scene here, he does have a pretty crazy line, Henry, where they're like, asking him why he's doing this, and he like nuts himself, and then he's like, "Ugh, absolution." Is a pretty crazy line.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you're gonna, because you're gonna shoot a priest.
If anyone actually goes back to watch the film, listen to the way he says that line, because he takes a second to like bust in his pants.
It's a real creamy line.
It's creamy.
Can I point out one other weird thing about this scene? Right, because this is like the scene where they fight and he confesses and they do the struggle for the gun. It feels like they improvised the final fight, right?
Sure did. Surely.
It's so sloppy, right?
Yeah.
Like, he hits him with the wood, but then the girl runs away, and then he struggles with the gun, and they have the, like, oh, someone shot. By the way, it's Christian Slater, not the bad guy, which is, makes no fucking sense.
Well, yeah, so Christian Slater gets shot in the melee, and then they have a chase, right? The Henry now chases Madeline through the church, but... It's just another great symbol of how stupid this fucking movie is. It's a big circle, right? She chases him in a big fucking circle, and they end up back in the room they started in.
She also does a crazy stunt jump over the back pew.
Yes, she dive rolls over the fucking pews.
It's insane.
Yes.
They're one stunt double shot.
Yeah.
Like, why did they use a stunt double for that shot and not the other sloppy parts of the film?
It's a great question.
Right? Really, if they had one available, yeah.
It's dark enough.
Yeah. But yeah, so, but ultimately, Christian Slater, despite being shot, still manages to whack him in the head with a crozier or something. I don't fucking know. It's another priest weapon, maybe. But then just the cops come in at just that moment to arrest him, but Henry shoots himself because the movie's over now.
Yeah, I wanted Thomas's mother to drop from the ceiling. He would never do that. He was Catholic.
So then we get the wrap up scene, right, where like Christian Slater is doing the Henry's dead homily or whatever.
Oh yeah,
and they're letting everyone know that the youth center is now the Father Thomas Andrews Youth Center.
Yes.
And look, I know it's because this movie's opinion is that Father Thomas Andrews was this amazing guy who wouldn't break confession and was an ally to all these gay teens. But just a reminder, he did allow one of them to get murdered.
Yep.
And then allowed that murderer to go free.
Yep.
Because he found out about it within magic spell territory.
Right. Like, correct. Like Mrs. Gallagher at least would still be alive if it hadn't been for that. Yeah.
Everyone in this movie would still be alive if Father Andrews wasn't such a fucking Catholic.
Right.
Yes. Right.
It feels weird to name the youth center after the guy who enabled the murder of one of them.
Yep, it does. Yeah. And also, I want to point out, too, that like because it was Henry, because this occurred to me at this point in the movie, I wrote it in my notes, like there's his boss, the cardinal, that keeps like trying to push him away from the investigation, has no reason now to have been pushing him away from the investigation, right? Like they never established another reason if he's not guilty or somehow involved.
I'm sorry, I just, you know, you were looking into a bad thing and I was like,
Yeah, but the church sure is full now because they want to see who Father Christian Slater is going to investigate next.
Oh no, kids, we're going to church. 2 weeks ago, he said, we're going to find out who murdered it. Apparently, this weekend, when we weren't there, he killed that guy. And he shot him. You might get a little brain matter if you kneel down.
No, it's like SeaWorld. Like, you got to pull up the little.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish they had just shown like half of the churchgoers is just like excited patrons. They're like cracking beers and stuff. Come on, what's right. next?
Well, I have to say, Andy, it has been a ton of fun hanging out with you today.
Oh, my God. What a time, fellas. This was amazing. This is what I love to do. This is what awesome. I do. This is all I do. So thank you for letting me
do
it.
You're doing well, man. So if you would, remind our listeners where they can go if they're not done with you yet, other than like the description box and shit.
Hey, yeah, if you are more interested in hearing about other stuff that I talk about other than just Christian movies, I talk about a lot of other shitty movies over on my Andy King YouTube channel, youtube.com/AndyKing.
Which we'll have linked in the show notes. And well, that does it for our review of The Good Shepherd. That's not going to do it for the episode just yet, because we still need to make the same mistake again. So Eli, tell us what's on deck.
Ooh. This powerful documentary exposes what its makers call a coordinated, decades-long effort to incrementally introduce Sharia Islamic law into American civil society, with Texas as its prime target.
Oh, my God.
We'll be watching. Get ready for this title, No Illusions. Remember the Alamo. Don't Sharia my Texas.
Oh my God.
I'm telling, as soon as we turn the cameras off, I'm telling my wife is from San Antonio, so I'm telling her about this.
As soon as
we get done.
Your Friday night viewing is
sounds like a hot date night ahead.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Treat yourself.
All right, so with a hot date night to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 573 to a merciful close. Once again, a huge thanks to Andy for helping us make this show work today. And a reminder, check the show notes to hear more from him. And an equally huge thanks to all the Patreon donors to help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also help a ton by leaving a 5-star review and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, D&D Minus, and The Skeptic Grant, available wherever podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Trim Robertson takes care of our social media. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Slotka of Velvet Dress on Mars. All the other music was written and performed by our audio engineer Morgan Clark and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick, I'm No Illusions. Promise to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the American Graffiti close.
Hey, that's fucking perfect.
Father Christian Slater would spend the rest of his career downplaying child rape.
The Catholic Church was super psyched that there was a movie about a crime they didn't do.
I think Christian just, he probably went and got the new cabin. Okay. with all the money he made from solving this crime.
Well, and all the stocks.
Oh, there you go, the stocks. There you go. Good tie-in.
All right, and we're going to do the ads out of order here. Let's do the ads in order and just make Morgan's life a little easier.
Sure, why not?
Back to that. So ad one, BetterHelp. Did you add anything to this one? Or
no, I didn't, sorry.
All right, we'll have to talk real quiet then, or real slow, rather. This episode is sponsored. No, that won't work. Here we go. Got that all in one breath, Eli. How about that shit?
Hell yeah.
And I just put the first interstitial up here because I figured you and I would record the other stuff after.
Yeah, we'll do it when once.
Let's
once,
do it. Yeah, let me scroll down here.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
It's been 4 years, fellas. Graduated from acting school in 2022.
That's right. Let's see if you're ready for it.
Time to pull it back out.
Let's hear your pigeon. That was pretty good.
That was a pretty great.
It's kind of pretty more like a dove, you know?
No. Don't self-criticize. That's the enemy of the good. That's the enemy of the good.
This content is canned credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm to their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. This podcast is a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC and was created without the use of generative AI. Its contents may not be used for AI training. Copyright 2026, all rights reserved.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.